Amen. You can be seated, but before we dismiss Children's Church, there's one thing that we always want to remember. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and so we want to remember those men and women who gave their lives so that we could be here today, gave their lives for the freedoms that we have. And so we know that they can't be here to stand, so what we do every year is we ask a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister or a cousin. And some of those brought to my attention last year that I like, if you served and you had a friend that gave their life in service, if you would just stand in their place. If you have a family member who gave their life or died during service, or a friend that you served with, if they passed, will you please stand in their place? It affects us all. Freedom is, as we say too often, is not free, and we do this every year to remind us, to remember, so that we don't take for granted the freedoms that we have. And it seems odd, but in honor of who they are, can we just give them a hand, just because thank you guys so much. And really, what we're going to be talking about today deals with this. We're still in the sermon series, The Garden, because if we forget, if we forget to attend, if we attend to the garden, if we forget what has happened, if we go on our way and we're not reminded, the ground can become wild or fallow. And so for us on Memorial Day, we definitely want to remember those who gave their lives so that we could be here today. But ultimately, we look to the one whose example that they set, or that they follow, the one who said it was Jesus Christ. And these men follow his example to give their lives for freedom. Now that we covered that, children, kindergarten through sixth grade, y'all can go to Children's Church. I just wanted y'all to be in here to see these folks. All right, there you go. So as we look at this here, we're going to be in Hosea chapter 10. If you want to go ahead and turn there, we're going to read from two different translations. Really, they say the same, except for they, you know, sometimes they word it just a little bit differently. And so we're going to read from the Newer American Standard. A lot of times we'll study from the New American Standard, and I also study from the NRV. But we're going to read from the NRV first and then from New American Standard second. But so in Hosea 10, starting about halfway down or halfway through the 11th verse, it says, God speaking, says, I'll make Ephraim do hard work. Judah also must plow. So all the people of Jacob must break up the ground. Your hearts are as hard as a field that has not been plowed. If you change your ways, you will produce good crops. So plant the seeds of doing what is right. Then you will have harvests. Then you will harvest the fruit of your faithful love. It is time to seek the Lord. When you do, he will come and shower his blessings on you. This one for me was a little bit wordy, so I like with how the New American Standard put it here in verse 12. It said, sow with the view of righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. I think it's a little less wordy there, but for us, what we see is a few things. One, that if we're not careful, that our hearts can become hard. Again, so we're going through the garden. I don't know if you've ever been in an area where there used to be a garden. Like at one time, the garden was there, and people planted on it every year, but then it wasn't. Have you ever been to a place like that? Like maybe it was your grandfather's land. He had a garden every year, and then all of a sudden you go, and there's no garden there. And it's left unattended. And when that happens, we call that fallow. It's a ground that hasn't been plowed. It's a fallow ground. A few things happen. The dirt starts to compact. you break that up so you can get water and air and oxygen in that soil, but it starts to compact. It reminds me, this one reminds me of a lot of the path that we talked about last week. It's very compact. Weeds start to grow. You don't even have to plant weeds. They just come up. I've never planted the first weed seed. It's called the weed seed bank. Nerds out there. All right, my weed seed, I never had planted any weeds in my garden, but they come up everywhere. You don't have to worry about that. So they come up. They're usually called pioneer plants, and pioneer plants are usually things you don't want in your yard. Next thing that happens, you have little saplings that start to come up. Your little pine trees, mimosas, everywhere. When I was growing up, we called them formosas for some reason. But mimosas, and I'm not talking about the drink. I'm talking about the trees. Okay, they're coming up everywhere. You have all these invasive trees. They're saplings, and if you tend to it when it's early, it's not such a hard thing to fix. But give it a few years. If you give it a few years, it's going to be really hard to fix. It's going to be really hard to turn back into a garden. The weeds, the roots are going to go down deep. You're going to have, hopefully you have some centipede grass starting to make its way through. It's hard to get rid of that stuff. And then you have trees that were saplings that you could have just plucked. Now they're trees and you're going to have to cut. And then you're going to have to pull or burn or however you're going to get rid of the root. The stump, grind it, but even if you grind it, you have roots that have gone everywhere. And if you have a tiller like mine, I just have the one with the tillers on the front. And so you hit a root, you know what happens to it? It jumps like 10 feet high. It's just poof. And so you're going to have that. You're going to tear up all your equipment trying to get it back to where it was. If you leave the ground fallow, it becomes hard. It becomes wild. It gets to be full of weeds and thorns. It's to a place where if you want to plant, it's going to take a lot of hard work, and our hearts can become hard if we go through our everyday life and forget about who God is, forget about who Christ is. And here in Hosea 10, it's really, God's talking about, you've had the good life, you've had things great, I've blessed you, and in that blessing, you've forgotten who I was. And so now, because you've forgotten and you rely on your soldiers more than you rely on me, your heart's hard. You forgot to tend your heart. And so if our heart becomes hard, then our relationship becomes fallow. It comes on Sunday, because there's a lot of people, we talked about this a few years ago, a lot of people love the idea of gardening, the idea, but actually gardening they don't like. Like, the idea is really good. And you might even get out there and start to garden, till everything up and plant the seed, and then you just want to go back out and harvest. You don't want to get the garden hoe out. You don't want to do any of that. You know, I see heads now. Nope, don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. You just want to go harvest. It doesn't work that way. You can't garden that way. The relationship with us and God becomes fallow. And so we love the idea of having a relationship with God, but we don't like the discipline that comes with it. Relationships, any relationship, has disciplines. For example, husbands, when you wake up in the morning, sometime during the day, you need to make sure that you talk to your wife. Try not talking to her for a few weeks. See how that goes. Some wives are like, yes, no, that's not good, if you think that's a great thing. All right, so that's not good. Try not to give any compliments during the week. Don't compliment the food. Don't tell her you appreciate her for anything that she does. You know, just pretend that you live in a magical world where your clothes just magically get into the drawer. Things just magically get cleaned up. Don't ever give any kinds of any words of appreciation at all. No compliments at all. Don't take her out to eat anymore. Go out with your friends all the time and leave her at home. Try that. And at the end of the month, there's going to be major problems. Because you have let that relationship fallow. You have left it unattended. You haven't asked one time what's wrong. You haven't paid attention for one moment about the needs or the wants of the person that you're married to. And now the relationship is in shambles. And this is what happens with God. We love the idea of a relationship with God. But we don't want any of the disciplines where we're talking to Him and reading, you know? And can you imagine being on a trip or living far away and there's no phones or anything and your wife sends you letters and you're like, oh, okay, that's cool. And you just put them over here and you never read them. And then when you finally see her, did you read my letters? Well, I was going to. I thought about it. But you know how I like to read. You know, I really just don't like to read. It will fallow the relationship. And so here we are. We don't want to read the scriptures. We don't want to hear from God. We love this idea. We'll come on Sundays and we'll go, all right, I'm going to do better. But we don't like the discipline that comes with it, and our heart becomes hard, and our relationship with God becomes strained, not because of anything that He's done, but because of everything that we've done, and the heart and our relationship is fallow, it's hard, it's full of weeds and saplings and trees and all the things that prevent the blessings of God from growing in our lives. And God says here, it's time to plow. I like what it says here in the New American Standard. It says, break up the fallow ground. It's time to break up that fallow ground. It's time to break up the hard. In the NRV, it says the hard field. So it's time to break up that hard, fallow ground. Breaking up the ground's hard. That's one of the one things that I hate. I hate to break up new ground. I just don't like it. You got roots everywhere. You have all this grass that's hard to get rid of. I hate to break up new ground. I mean, I like what comes later, but it takes a long time to break up new ground. You got rocks and around here. You don't have a whole lot of rocks, but every once in a while you'll hit a rock. When I say a rock, I mean, you know, softball size. It's hard. You can't get a shovel in it. If you try to get a shovel in it, you hit a root, and so it goes, whoop, and I weigh a lot. So I should be able to jump on it, and then the shovel cuts straight through. But it doesn't always. Some of those roots are so big, it's just, whoop, I start here, and I end up here. If you never use a shovel, you don't know what I'm talking about. You need to use a shovel. Amen. Okay? Get a shovel in your hand. And so it's hard to break that stuff up, and God says it's time for us to break up the fallow ground, the unattended ground, the unattended parts of our lives that we've not given to God, the places where we like, oh, I would love for God to do something in this area of my life, but we don't let His Word penetrate, we don't pray about it, we don't read, we don't get together with other believers to study, we don't do any of these things, we don't let the Holy Spirit move in our lives, we don't feel the conviction anymore, but we just like the idea, hey, God, work in my marriage, work with my kids, but then at the same time, we've never broken the ground. We want a crop from fallow ground. We want to throw a bunch of peas in the desert and hope they grow. We want to throw a bunch of peas on the hard red dirt. Now, I know if you plow that red dirt up, you can plant peas in red clay around here. You know that, right? That's a good way to get things started, but you got to still plow it up. You can't just lay it on there, you know, when it gets wet and then it dries and it cracks, you know what I'm talking about? That red heart. You can't just throw those peas out there on top of that soil. You got to break that stuff up. And how do we do this? And I would say the reason that we don't is because there's too many things in that fallow ground that we like. I like how that mimosa tree looks. you have a most tree in your neighborhood, chop it down. Do your neighbors a favor, because they're coming up everywhere in our yard, okay? I know you think it's pretty, but it's a hindrance. I know you can make tea out of it. So the internet says. I've never tried it. I don't know what it'll do to you. Don't do that. It seems like it would kill you, but I don't know. Some of y'all call them paradise trees. But get rid of, we don't want, man, those things are terrible. And you can't kill them. Have you ever cut one down? I cut one down because I want to get rid of them. I'll cut it down. I had a log. I know it was this big. I threw it on the burn pile. I come back a few weeks later, and it's just growing from the log. It's not even touching the ground. Those things are terrible. I like how that looks. Oh, it's so pretty. It's so pretty. I like that sin. That sin's so good. Oh, it makes me feel so good. Oh, I like that old weed. I don't know what that weed is right there. I like that weed. I don't want to get rid of that. And we have all these sins that we have in this fallow ground, unattended ground that has come up in our lives and taken root, and we love them so much that we won't break up the ground. And we pretend like we want to be forgiven of our sins. We like the idea, but we don't do the work. And so we say something like this as we pray, as we're praying over this fallow ground, this hard ground, we'll pray something like, God, forgive me of all the sins I've committed today. Lord, if there's anything I don't remember, forgive me for that. Again, let's go back to your relationship with your husband or your wife. Husbands, here we go. She's really mad at you. Mad for something. You may know what it is, or you may not, okay? Walk into the kitchen where she's throwing dishes around, because that's where they let you know they're mad. Is in the kitchen with dishes. Okay, walk in and say, whatever I did, forgive me, and walk out of the room. You're good. Look, wise, no, you're not. You're not good. But we do that with God. We do that with Christ. Like, we come in thinking that if we just walk in, forgive me for whatever I've done today. Like, it's not a big deal. You know why your wife won't forgive you at that point? Because you're just treating like it's not a big deal. Like you didn't hurt the relationship somehow. You've got to dig deeper to break up that ground, to break up that hardness, to pull out those roots of bitterness. You got to dig a little deeper in there. And so we've got to spend time in our relationship with Christ and break up the ground. And that means we got to pay attention to the things that are in that fallow ground that's causing it to be hard, the weeds that have grown up, the things that will choke out the things that God wants to do in our lives. And we have to get before Him and start naming the sins by name. Forgive me for this. And forgive me for the things that I've said that was wrong. And here's what I said that was wrong. Forgive me for the thoughts that I've had. And here are the thoughts that I've had. I hate this person. I wish bad things would happen to this person. I wish this person would talk to me more than they did. All these things, okay? So you're naming them by name. About lust and greed and hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness. And you're before the Father ripping those things out. Roots and all. Roots and all. Sometimes we don't want to ask for forgiveness until we get caught. And the only forgiveness we really want to ask for is enough where we just mow over it. You know why you mow over it? Because that's what everybody sees. You mow over it. You want to keep the root because you know it's coming back. God said, we got to rip these things out by the root. Like, they got to come up. They can't, you can't just, like that emotion, you can't just cut it down. You got to rip that whole stump up. We got to get rid of it. We got to hook it up to the tractor. You got to find a grind. You got to do something, but we got to rip that out of the ground. It's hard work, and it's going to hurt, and you're going to miss it, and it's going to cause you to feel bad and have conviction, and it's going to cause you to suffer in your spirit because you realize how much you have hurt
your God, how much you have hurt your Christ, how much you have come and taken the relationship of God and taken it for granted as we go through these sins, as we're ripping out one sin at a time in our lives, and we stop treating them like they're just mistakes, but we start treating them like they're serious business.
We take the sins of life and we try to justify them. Like they're not a big deal. We say things like, I'm not perfect. And that's true. You're not perfect. That's why you need Jesus, okay? Number one, but that's not an excuse to do the bad things that you do. It's not like, oh, I'm not perfect, so then you do bad things. And you just, that's not your excuse. Because Jesus says, be holy as I am holy. God says in the Old Testament, be holy as I am holy, that we're to be set apart, we're to be different from, that we don't make the excuse, I'm just human. We don't go through our lives and look at the different sins and be like, well, everybody else is doing it, because everybody else is doing it, then it has to be okay, or God has to forgive us all, and somehow it's not as bad just because everybody else is doing it. It's bad, it's terrible, it hurts. And I love how David says it in the Psalms when he's declaring to God after he's had this affair with Bathsheba and then killed her husband. He said, against you and only you have I sinned. I've broken your law. He starts to beg God. He says, God, please return to me the joy of my salvation. I'm broken. I'm torn apart. And I want you to think about this. When Jesus is preaching on his Sermon Mount sermon, he says, blessed are those who mourn. Mourn over what? Mourn over their condition. Mourn over the sin that's in their lives. Mourning over the wrong that they've done, how they've hurt the relationship. All of us get this, because when somebody wrongs us, we don't want just a sorry. We want them to feel what we feel, don't we? That's the reason you try to be mean back to them. After they've hurt your feelings, you're trying to be mean back because you want them to feel what you feel. And you believe that if they can feel what you feel, that they will understand how much it hurt and they won't do it again. The problem is, that doesn't always work. It rarely works, okay? God's such a gentleman that he doesn't throw that back on us. Amen. That we hurt him. We break his law. We hurt the relationship, the fellowship. He shows up every day and we don't. We stand God up all the time. And he hurts. And what I want you to get a picture of today is just a glimpse of how much we hurt our Father. And in that glimpse, that we not take things for granted. And that we don't just look over and gloss over the sins of our lives. That we get to a place that we, it says here, seek the Lord. He says it's time to seek the Lord. Both translations says it's time to seek the Lord. That we stop seeking after the things that choke out the things that God wants to do in our lives, that choke out the life that God wants to bring to us, and that we start to seek the Lord and what He wants. We start to seek His kingdom, not our kingdom. We start to seek His pleasure, not our pleasure. We start to seek for His name's sake, so that His name can be famous, not ours. That we seek the Lord. It says you haven't sought after Him, and because you haven't sought after Him, your hearts in your field or your hearts in the relationship, they are feral, unattended. And the things that used to grow, they don't grow there anymore. It's unattended. Things can grow again. Things can be the way they were. And life can come from a place of death. Life can come from a place where there's thorns and thistles and big trees that you don't want in the way. Things can come from that. Produce and multiplication can come. But you must seek the Lord first. And how do you do that? He says this. Sow with the right relationship in mind. Intention. Now, when I have a garden, there's things that I do. I plow the garden up, get it all ready, make sure all the trash is out. And with intention, I make my rows. If it's going to be cantaloupe or watermelon, those rows are big, far apart. If they're peas, I'm putting maybe a little close together. If they're tomatoes, I got to make sure I got a stake for them to climb, or really to tape them. Some of y'all still, I got this really cool tape gun if y'all need it. Anyway, so I tape them up with intention. I don't just go to the store and be like, hey, you got some loose seeds? I'll just take whatever loose seeds you got. You don't know what they are? I don't know what that is. It's okay. Let's just try it. And then I get all loose seeds, and I'm like, all right. And I just broadcast stuff everywhere. You just don't do that. You have to be intentional about what you do. If you just cast all kinds of seeds everywhere, you're going to have your squash growing with your cucumbers. That's not good. You're going to have your cucumbers growing up your tomatoes, smothering them out. That's not good. You're going to get nematodes, that's these things in the ground that from one plant to another. It has to do with your nightshades, all that. You're going to mess all that up. You got to be intentional. You got to sow with something in mind. Here it says you sow with the right relationship in mind. What right relationship? The right relationship with God. So what you do in your life, you are sowing so that you can have a right relationship with Christ, a right relationship with God. So everything you do, you think in your mind, is this going to bring me closer to God and have a closer relationship with Christ, or is this going to hurt the relationship, and am I going to move? Because God doesn't move, okay? Only time He moves is when He moves to get closer to you, because He says if you go after Him, He comes after you, okay? But He stays right here. If we're moving away, He's not moving away, we are. Prodigal son, when he left the father. But when the prodigal son started to come back, the father ran to him, okay? And say, so you got this, all right? So we're moving away, Is this action, this thing that I'm doing in my life, this decision, this attitude, this relationship, this hobby, everything that I do, is it going to bring me in a closer relationship and have a right relationship with Christ, or is it going to move me away? Is it going to hurt my relationship? Everything. Because sometimes we just put this on preachers. You know, preachers are called from one church to the other. I'm not getting called anywhere. I hope I die here. Wouldn't that be great? Hey, not time anytime soon, but I mean, I might die here. But they get called here, they get called there. But then, like the secular world, we can just switch jobs anytime we want, right? How do we know? Even in that action, we say, God, will this bring me closer to you? Or will this make me or cause me to move away from you? Your attitude towards your husband, ladies, when you wake up, your attitude towards them, I need him to know how I feel. He's got to know I don't feel appreciated. Is this going to make me closer to God? Or is it going to cause me to have a bitter root, a bitter heart, and move me away from Christ? And everything we do, we sow with a right relationship in mind. And this is important because the scripture says, what you sow, you also reap. If I sow watermelon seeds, I expect to get, let's see if y'all know. Watermelon, y'all good. If I sow some cantaloupe, which I got a few, they little bitty. Anyway, some cantaloupe, what am I expecting to get back? Cantaloupe. If I sow bitterness, what am I expecting to get back? There we go. If I sow unforgiveness, what am I expecting to get back? So this is important. So when we sow with the right relationship in mind. So we must do really two things today. One, we must break up the fallow ground by allowing God to point to different things in our lives, and we must repent from those things. Repent's a big word that just means to turn from whatever it is that we're going towards. Just say it's a hateful spirit, that we turn from hatefulness and we turn to God and His way and His love, okay? Turn from hatefulness. We're not a person of hate. We're a person of love. Turn from a person of bitterness to a person of forgiveness. Turn from a person of unfaithfulness, because maybe we're living in adultery or fornication. That just means sex outside of marriage. We turn from that to a relationship with God where He's always faithful. That we're repenting. We're turning from something to something. We're turning away from sin, those weeds that are growing in the field. We're turning away from that, and we're turning to God where He's breaking up the soil so that His seed can take root, His Spirit can take root, and life can grow. So we're turning away from and to something. So we must break up that fallow ground. And the first step into that is to rip up those sins by their roots as we come to our Father. And we, like David, "It's against You have I sinned, and it's serious, and I agree with You." It's just a little sin. Even a little sin sent Christ to the cross. Even a little sin caused our Savior to bleed. It's serious. And then we sow with the right relationship in mind. Now that this is ripped out, now that these are gone, now that the weeds are gone and the ground is broken up, what do You want me to plant in its place? Because if all you do is rip up the weeds today, and you don't do it, you rip them up and you plow it up and you don't sow anything, you're going to have weeds back tomorrow. One of the things that I think I've learned out of all, and I don't know why God made me fall in love. I hated gardening when I was a kid. I hated it. Getting up early, picking peas with wet shoes because of the dew. Ugh. I kind of like it now. It's weird. Really, I like to do it in the afternoon after the dew's gone. It's still just as cool, but I guess you picked them in the morning so you could shell them all day. I don't know. But one of the things that I've learned, and I do this all the time, I have these beds, is I go through and I weed. I'll pick a bed and I'll weed. And I'll weed the whole bed. And sometimes you'll see me out there, the weeds have gotten a little bad because I hadn't gotten to that one, and you'll just see me sit down, or sometimes you'll see me crawling on my hands and knees picking these weeds. You'd think I was crazy. And you got to do it all the time. And every time I do that, me and the Lord have this conversation. What weeds are in your life? I think that may be why He made me fall in love with gardening. What weeds do we need to pull out of your life? What unforgiveness do you have? What lust do you have? What bitterness? And how are you spending your money? How are you spending your time? And so really, every time I do that, I'm physically pulling weeds by the roots. And God teaches you so much sometimes out there. And sometimes you'll grab one and it'll just come up. You know, like it just breaks off and the roots are still there. And you just want to move on because it's easier. Like it'll come back and I'll pull it next time. And the Lord say, no, the roots will be deeper next time. And so you catch yourself digging. I usually have dirt under my fingernails. I try to clean them all the time, but I usually, and if you ever see me, it's because I'm digging. Because you got to get those roots out. When's the last time you got down on your hands and your knees and you and the Lord walked through your life and you pulled weeds? When's the last time you sit down? Because I like for my family to love the produce. And so I'll sit down with my family, what y'all want to eat? What kind of, what do y'all want? And usually like, oh, whatever. You know, but I'm like, I want to know. I'm always planting something different in case they may like it. I tried something new this year. You know, cilantro, when it gets hot, it just bolts. That means it goes to flower. You can't use it anymore. We love cilantro. I know some of y'all think it tastes like soap. If you think that tastes like soap, I tried something new. It grows in the heat. It's called popolo. In South America, they use it a lot. Some of y'all may have tried it. It really tastes like soap, but I tried it. It tastes like laundry detergent, to tell the truth. It's strong. But we sit down and we talk about it. When's the last time you sat down with your father and you said, what do we need to plant in my life? What rose you need me to have? What are the things that I'm missing? So today, really, the challenge is really easy for us. We went through all that for two things. That we get with our Father sometime. And it could be today at this altar. It could be at your house. It may take longer than 2, 5, 6, 7 minutes up here. This may take a while. You get at home and you get off to yourself. You may need to do like me, go find you a flower bed. Husbands, your wife would be like, you, praise the Lord, he listened today, all right? You may need to find you a flower bed to go and weed. You sit down with your father and you let him reveal to you. As David said, search my heart, O Lord. Reveal to me if I have any wicked way. And then maybe some of y'all need to sit down with the father and just say, Lord, now that I weeded, what do I need to put in? What am I missing? Because it's not enough just to turn away from something. You got to turn to something. What I need to put in that place? And break up that fallow ground. Satan's had it long enough. I ask that you would stand and you just respond as the Spirit moves you, and you take as long as you need up here. And if you're up here longer than the song and everything's going on, you stay up here until you get it done. We got a long time. We'll stay here all day. We'll keep the doors open. If you need to go home and deal with the Lord, you do that. But I think out of all the sermons that I've preached in a long time, this is one that I think we really need. Like, this is one that, and without me realizing it, this is a message that God has used in my life more than any that I've preached in a long time. Lord, Father, I come to you and I pray for all of us. We're dealing with things right now. Some of us are in love with our weeds. Lord, I pray right now that you would show to us, you would reveal to us how serious those weeds are, how destructive they are, how they're taking the place of what you want to do in our lives. Lord, we've got some young people here. Lord, they're praying for godly relationships, a godly husband or wife. But they're living in the weeds. They're looking at the appearance. They believed what the world says. We have some people here that marriages are in a bad place. And they have somebody else in mind. And they love that weed. It's small, but it's starting to take root. Lord, Father, we have some people here, Lord, that are addicted to porn. That root runs deep. And it's starting to destroy their relationship with their husband or their wife. Unrealistic expectations. Lord, I pray that you would convict them not for their pain, but for your glory. Lord, we have some that are dealing with financial issues. And they're putting their trust and their money, their joy and their hope and their happiness in the money that they have. And they're seeking first the kingdom of this world. Lord, let them see the day that real security comes from you. Real joy and happiness comes from you. Now, there's some of us that we just can't forgive. That person wronged me. And it defines our whole life. Well, Father, I pray today that that unforgiveness would be ripped out and they would see and discover the forgiveness that you offer, that you've given us, and that life can come from forgiveness. God, let us break up this fallow ground. Let us come to you. Let us seek you first. Church, you respond as your Spirit leads you.